Well, I would desire your prayers. I'd like to think a little bit about the subject of faith in God. Book of Mark, 11th chapter of Mark. Twentieth verse, I think I want. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. I think need to go back to the 14th verse. They were coming by. I'll go to the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, and happily might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. So they go on into the city, and this is says, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. They was no doubt astonished at that. And Jesus' response to this is one of those notable places to me in the scriptures. He said, and Jesus answered them, have faith in God. And Jesus was able to look into people's thoughts and ways like nobody else could. And this answer had to be tailor-made for his disciples at this time. And I don't know, he talked a lot of faith at different places, but there was different places he did a number of different things. But the answer here to this was, have faith in God. So there must have been something going on with this that the disciples had seen. I'm speculating, of course, but I'm thinking that they've seen that, and maybe they didn't even understand or think that anything would happen or anything like that. He cursed the fig tree, and they come back, and in such a quick time, it obviously wasn't a natural event. It seems to speak to us that they obviously looked at it and said that this tree couldn't do this naturally. This we just come by here, and it was green and flourishing, and it. The expression was not that it just was withering, but it was dried up. It was from the roots up. This thing was if you would look, my mind is this old dead, looks like, I mean, it's all gone out of it. And looked at that, and they bring it to the Lord. Lord, the tree, look how quickly this happened and what it did. And his response to them was have faith in God. And so I'm thinking that the Lord was instilling to them something that was more direct idea of this, not around the barn or around the corner type thing, but don't just believe in what God has done in the past or what he's doing. Believe in the person of God. Believe in God himself. But believe in God as the one that says, I'll be with you to the end, even the end of the world. Believe in God that is real in your life. Make him real in your life. Believe in God more. There was no reason for them to the circumstances. Why should they have believed in this? There was no reason for them to believe that they would come back. I'm saying naturally. There was no reason for them to believe that there was going to be some natural event that come by and done something. There was no reason for them to believe. You know, that's what faith is. is when there's no reason to believe it. That's what faith is to believe, when we look and say, there's no reason. Honestly, if it's dark and the cloud, black clouds are rolling and hanging low and the lightning starts and stuff, it's not a lot of faith to believe it's going to rain. It's easy to believe that it's going to rain at that time because it's the circumstances that built it. I think what the Lord was trying to say here is that stop dictating your faith by circumstances. Have faith in God. Have faith in God that don't need the circumstances, that don't need those things, that God that can intervene in these kind of places. I need something dried up in my life, and I need something to happen, and it's always been this way, and it continues to be in this way, and all the evidence of it is it's going to stay on this way, and it's really hard for me to believe it's not going to be this way because the circumstances has always told me that it's this way. And Jesus comes by and says, when the circumstances of your life all says that this got to be this way, have faith in God. Get out of the circumstances and have faith in God. When the storm is raging, what did Jesus say to them in another place? They were in a ship and Jesus was asleep and the waves started picking up and the wind and it started blowing water and water was coming over and coming into the ship and it looked like, and they looked at the circumstances around them. The circumstances around them dictated the fate that they were in. The circumstances mean they knew what it meant to be at sea on a storm. They knew what happens in those kind of times. And Jesus is on this, and they come and say, Master, don't you care? He was asleep. Wake him up. Don't you care? We perish in this. Oh, ye of little faith, what are you believing in? Lord, I can't help it. I can't help it. I live in a world that synchronizes it. I live in a world that one thing says what the next thing will be. I live in a circumstantial world. The circumstances here is this ship's going to sink. Jesus said, oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye of little faith. You see the circumstances. You know what they're going to say. Have faith in God. Point your mind, your heart towards God. You can look at situations. You may say of your family members, I know what this is. I know where it's going to go. They're never going to be saved. Oh, no, quit looking at the circumstances. Start praying and have faith in God. Believe in God that's able to work beyond the circumstances that's in life. And sometimes the circumstances will become so heavy, so strong, so much there. And you say, I don't see how that this can possibly turn out anything but this. But then there's God. Oh, and Lord help me, so many times that I mix my faith and saying to the Lord and praying to the Lord, and I accept the inevitability of the circumstances and say, Lord, do something good in this circumstance. Or, Lord, I mean, that's all believing and having faith in God, because I don't know the will of God in everything. But how easily we might give up in something, but give up in it because our faith really isn't in the God that controls everything. It's in the circumstances that's kind of dictate the things around. Sister Sherry Rich, she's gone now. But she told a testimony. I heard her tell it a number of times. But there was some condition, and forgive me for being less on the details, but I just know it was with one of her sons, and her son had this condition, whatever it was, and the idea was if the condition ever, it was a rash type or something, but she told the story about it, if it ever went all the way around that it was really a death situation almost, and I remember her saying that she would look at that every day, and she, her son was in this condition until finally she was overwhelmed. It was getting worse. She was overwhelmed. She couldn't get the faith, and she said that the Lord spoke to her and said, quit looking at that. Just quit looking at it. The circumstances is overwhelming. She said, I quit I just had to quit looking at it. And just by faith, I started praying and having faith. I have faith in you, God. And the Lord ended up healing the situation with the same. But she said she couldn't, her faith was bothered by the circumstance. And every time she looked at it, her faith was challenged because it looked so raw and so bad. And I couldn't tell you. And so she said, you get your eyes off of that and get it on God. So Jesus here says of the fig tree, you got a lesson. Here's a lesson. Don't wait on the circumstances. Jesus spoke. It didn't seem from an insect. It wasn't lightning struck. I didn't see the circumstances that caused this. I have no reason to believe that something like this can happen. Have faith in God that can dry up bad situations. He can give life. Do you know that the Lord could have said after that, just to show you that, to show you and help your faith, he could have said to a dead fig tree, bear fruit. And they could have come by the next day and said, it's got fruit on it. I mean, I'm not saying it's got a green bud started and waiting on the circumstances. It's got fruit on it. Have faith in God. So many times in life, I feel like that I think it's accurate to believe that God rules in everything. If it goes slow, it's still God. But if we're not careful, we diminish our faith in God and what God can do because we really don't see the circumstances. We want to look at a scripture in Isaiah 31st chapter of Isaiah. You know what? Let me just go ahead and grab that scripture again in Mark real fast, because I think there was a couple more I wanted to. I just want to read the rest of that because it is a great challenge. It said, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, if we can get our minds around this, this is quite a verse. I've thought of this all my saved life, I guess. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he hath saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and you shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. I wonder why he put that all in that certain course. Because there's things that hinders you believing what God will do. This was one of them. I think that he brought to this to have faith to believe. I cannot believe. I'm sorry, I can't believe it. I cannot believe that if I prayed and somehow I could work up enough inward fortitude to try to believe that a mountain would be cast into the sea, that it would be. Literally, I'm saying. Because I could never believe that God has that purpose or wants me to try to exert some kind of power or do anything about that, and I don't think it's what he's saying. I think a mountain meant any obstacle, big or small. I think the biggest obstacles of your life, you can believe when it don't look possible, and you can if you can believe that God can remove them by faith, God can move them. But have faith in God and not the size of the mountain. It's having faith in the ability that God has to work in our lives and change the things in our lives and not the ability for us to do it ourselves. I can't do it myself. And I've never had the ability to just muster up some kind of an extra belief that I don't have. But I do understand this. There can be things in my life, whether it be unforgiveness or whatever things in my life, that makes me doubt whether God is going to do what I ask Him to do or not. That's the hindrance that He's trying to say. God can do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or think according to the power that works in us. He can do all of those things. He can master. He can help us master. He can help us be the people, the person that we want to be. He can help me forgive when I can't. He can help me get rid of bitterness when I can't get rid of it. He can help me have faith when I don't have faith. Lord, there's mountains all around our lives. Have faith in the God that works in our life. How faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. But you know, there's a scripture that says for us to build up our most holy faith. Faith comes by living close to the Lord. Faith comes by having the Lord answer your prayers. He did it here. David said when he come up against the giant, he seemed so strong, didn't he? Didn't he seem so confident? Didn't he seem so assured that God could do something with him? Why? Because he had built up to that. That scripture isn't by chance. God built David up to the battles that he was going to face. He gave him faith by giving him victory over a bear and victory over a lion. Maybe the time that he had the victory over the bear and the lion, he couldn't have faced the giant. But after the lion and the bear, I've got a giant ahead of me now. God has built those things, and God has answered our prayers and done it for us, and we expect Him to do it. Now, I remember the story of the set of Brother Murphy Allen, I believe it was, that he was off by himself a lot of times, and he was working in places that didn't, I think that's Sister Shana's grandpa. And the story was told, Brother Ed, I think, had told it, that he had come to, he had went to Monarch one time, and they went, and I think his wife was sick and at Monarch, and so he went and prayed for her, and nothing happened. And he was like, it always happens. I mean, wife's sick, you go pray for her. God heals her. I mean, he had this expectation. And so he went to prayer, and the Lord, he couldn't get nowhere. So he went and asked the Lord, Lord, what's my problem? And the Lord spoke to him and said, you're among brethren. He was trying to do something with the Lord, with Brother Allen beyond. He had faith in God. But the Lord wanted to do something with him. He said, you're among brethren. I don't want you to depend on yourself now. He always had to, and God blessed him. I want you to call. And he called for the brethren. They come and prayed for her, and she got right up. And God healed her. But God wanted him to learn the lesson there too. I know God wants to work with us and deal with us. But I don't know about you, but those stories that I know that's true from true people, they give me courage too. Sometimes when prayer is not answered, Brother Salmon said one time he was praying for somebody, and Brother Salmon's was somebody that was used to God hearing his prayers. He was used to something happening because he knew the Lord. He had faith in God, not in the circumstances. He could go about through any circumstance. And when he was weak, I've seen it. I've seen when there was a weakness or if I might say it, even in the room when there was a spirit of doubt. Brother Salmons would sense this, and there was times that he come to our house. There was times that he come to our house, and when he come in, he said, let's go to pray that we can pray. And he would get down before the Lord, not to pray for healing, get down to pray for the Spirit of the Lord to come in. Pray that the environment would be shook off of doubts and fears, and he would pray. And I'm telling you, one time in particular, he come up there, and we were scared. I'll tell you, we were scared. It was dark and gloomy spiritually in that room. And Brother Sammons felt it when he come in. I'm going to tell you, there was no darkness left in even the corners when he got through. I'm telling you, the Lord blessed him until the room lit up, and it was like the Lord there. And he said, now let's pray. And the whole thing was different. And he was praying for someone one time after with that. And he said, he told me afterwards, he said, boy, he said, I tell you what. He said, I'm glad Sister So-and-so was there. And Brother So-and-so was there, and Brother Leslie, and he named these brothers, and he said, of whom he had great confidence in. He said, I'm sure glad they was in that room, because if they hadn't been there, I'd have really been wondering about me. Said, we prayed and prayed and couldn't hardly get anywhere with this. You know what? They was a hindrance there. They was a hindrance that needed took care of before. When they got to the root and got the hindrance took care of, that's why it says it the way it does. Do you realize that within our potential, it isn't automatic, but within our potential to have faith, that by faith we can remove mountains. We can tear down the obstacles and places that you'd never, exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask or think. Well, sit around me a while. I'll show you some asking and thinking. I can come up with a lot of things. He can do exceedingly and abundantly above all of that according to the power that worketh in us. Have faith in God and not the circumstances. And when the circumstances look like there's no hope around, a man of God will stand up and say, have faith in God. Have faith in God. It doesn't look like it. So and to encourage our faith, the Lord give us an example of prayer to where he said that Elisha, I think it was a man of like passion. Elias, see, he was a man of like passion, just as we are. Meant that he had the same faults and failures, and he could be scared. He could have all the human elements that we have at different times, but he prayed earnestly. He prayed and had faith in God, and it didn't rain upon the face of the earth for 3.5 years. And then he prayed. Or was that Elijah? He prayed, and here comes a hand. There was no reason to believe it was going to rain because there wasn't even a cloud in the sky. But there was all of a sudden there was a cloud appeared about the size of a man's hand in the horizon. And from that began to form and form until they said, run! You better get going. It's going to rain. Because he had faith in God. He prayed in faith in God, and the impossible became possible. You know, it's according to the desire and passions that we have in life, according to God. No, God isn't going to give you the mansion on the hill just because you feel like you want one. You're not going to drive the big fancy vehicles just because you want one, and that's misplaced. That's all misplaced. But when our heart's in God, when our heart is the will of God, Lord, I want what you want. I can tell you what the Lord wants. The Lord wants to save everybody that he can. I don't have to wonder about whether I can pray in faith for somebody's salvation. God already wants their salvation. I know what some of the things that the Lord wants in my own life. Lord, help me to be that and have faith in God. Well, this scripture over here in Isaiah that I want to look at. For 31st chapter says, book of Isaiah, for verse 1. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. This can be said, generally speaking, as very accurate to the shadows of from the shadows of the Old Testament to the enlightened New Testament, that the idea of Egypt always represents the world in general. Woe unto them that go down to the world or to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, in horsemen because they are very strong, but they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Through the Old Testament scripture and the Lord's endeavoring to deal with his people, he commanded them, do not trust in the horses. But I'm going to tell you, circumstances, that would be really, really hard. I mean, I don't know how everybody can really relate with this, but I'm a kind of a war buff and also know strategies and those kind of things. And I'm going to tell you, when there was an army of men and there was a big army of horses come in, logically, some of the cavalry units, Civil War and stuff, and some of the maneuvers they had, men on foot couldn't do them. You needed the speed and strength of a horse to be able to circle around and do, and it was a cavalry unit. And this is all saying this of an understanding of the circumstances that is involved in life. It is not denying those circumstances. The circumstances is very obvious that a horse and chariot was an awesome invention for the time of war at that time. No doubt about it. But the Lord looked at it and said about it, it's so misplaced to go down to Egypt when right here is the greatest source of victory ever known. You know what the Lord said he'd give them victory for? I'll trade you. I'll give you victory for obedience. Just be obedient. If you'll be obedient to me, your enemy will never see your back. If you'll be obedient and do what I want you to do, I'll fight your battles for you. And they went down. It cost something. But I know from looking at this that circumstances would be really, really hard living this life and knowing you had enemies around you not to incorporate a horse. It would be really, really hard. The Lord said, don't do it. Because if you're doing it, you're second-rating yourself. You got something better than that. Don't go to the chariot. Don't put your trust and confidence in the chariot and in the horses. Because you'll still lose that way. Have faith in God. If you'll trust in God, you think about it today, or even World War II. In Germany of 1930s and all, they started building up. They're very industrious people. And they had the great scientists and inventors of the world. And so they started improving on all of the military items, planes. You know what the difference, you know how much difference there was between German military might and Polish horsemen? You had tanks busting through with artillery and all this stuff, and they had some other equipment, but they was coming up against a lot of them with horses and that kind of stuff. The circumstances, I can tell you, looking at the circumstances, I would say give me the tanks. Give me the stuff that assures us a better chance of this kind of stuff. And the Lord said to his people, don't trust in that. Trust in God. Put your faith and confidence in God. That's the history. I'm not saying that relates to a military now. I'm telling you it relates to our personal lives and what we have faith and confidence in. The circumstances, I have no reason to believe that this will turn out any this way and any good. The only thing that can happen is what my mind can tell me that the circumstances can dictate. And the Lord says to them in the middle of that time, have faith in God. When you think the outcome of something's going to be a certain way, have faith in God. Because God can change that circumstance. And, you know, we talked about it many times here, but Brother Jim ends up with a cancer on his face, and his friend Bill, you know, a doctor, told him over and over, and he said one day, I'm taking that off of your face. I'm going to Well, see, you're not going to bother this. You're not going to bother that. I had to look at it every day in the mirror. And he told him, he gave him the prediction. This is what this is going to do. This is what's going to happen. I don't remember at what point he had it, but I remember when it was 13 years that he had had that there 13 years. You all remember how it got and his eye got all red and drained, and it really looked, the circumstances started looking really worse and worse. And do you remember how it reversed its course and ended up just drying up to a little old spot right there? And when he died, he didn't die of that. He still had, best I remember, it was just you could have covered it with the end of your finger right there on his face, and it didn't do that. And that's because, to my mind, God told it to go so far and no farther. It's mine, and you'll do what I told. You're not going any farther on him. That's as far as it goes right there. The circumstances said something different at one time. I remember thinking it. I remember saying it. But God does beyond the circumstance. Have faith in God was the message of the time. So he says to his people here, you put all of this and you've done all of this and what you've done. At the same time, I'm not sure in my own mind, I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure that there isn't things that we do. Of course there is. Of course there is. But never outside of God. There's things that we do. And if the Lord directs to go and do something with them, that's a part of trusting God. But you don't do it at the elimination of God. You do it in the incorporation of God. This is what I'm putting God in there because I'm having faith in God. And there's a scripture in Jeremiah, in the second chapter, where the Lord says, 13th verse, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water. Have faith in God. I can't wait to rely on God. I can't do it at that time. He said these people have done two evils, and it gives you such an illustration. I brought it out here many times. What an illustration that the Lord gives here of his people. Look what they've done. 12th verse says, be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, say the Lord. O heavens, it's like he calls the angels to witness it. Oh, be astonished, O ye heavens, look at it. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So here's the idea. It's like there's an artesian well flowing. And the Lord's saying, trust in God. It flows ever. I ain't drinking it. I ain't drinking it. Cold. Ground cold, fresh water coming right out. I ain't drinking that. But how am I going to get water? Well, we better get busy and do all that we can. Well, I think I'll go down to Egypt. I think I'll look to the world for my help. I think I'll try to find satisfaction in the things that the world develops. Honestly, question of this point in history of those old enough to understand, do you really think it's working? I mean, it's an obvious question. Is the world really satisfying everybody? Well, it's entertainment everywhere. There's you can do anything. Go here and do that. Is people satisfied in their soul? Are they happier? I believe Keith brought out the other night, if I'm not mistaken, that right now it's a high on young men being depressed. Right now there's this high on what's happening? You mean the world? You mean your broken cisterns isn't satisfying you? Be amazed. Terribly horrible. It's awful. Be amazed at this. Here's the fountain of living water that satisfies the human condition. It's meant to. I ain't drinking it. I'm going to drink out of satisfaction. I want I'm going to go get my own. That's what I'll do. I'll go get my own. Have faith in God. When it looks like nothing else, I mean, this is seems like it's the obvious. Have faith in God. Well, how am I know I'm going to be satisfied? There's so much out there. I mean, there's so much stuff. It cankers. It rots. It destroys. Have faith. Have faith in God. Well, there's another scripture I want to look at. It's the idea of having faith. And so many people, I'm just amazed at it. Every time I see it, I say I'd like to have an opportunity to preach to them. But I see a lot of religious stuff, and I see people that congregate themselves to a personality. The Bible tells us how to deal with people and leaders and those kind of things. Give them double honor for their work's sake. That's it. If you'd be great in the kingdom, humble yourself. And yet there seems like there's this great move now to lift, always have been, but the people would be exalted and lifted up and somehow they become God. If I need an answer, there's safety in counsel. Sure there is. It comes from God. But how many put and exalt man? Well, here Paul says something about that here in Corinthians. 12th verse says, "Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am Apollos, I am Cephas, and I am Christ." Is Christ divided, Paul says? Was Paul crucified for you? I think that says it all. I can't save you. Ain't nothing I can do to bless you. There isn't an obligation of obedience to me. You obey Christ. I'll obey Christ. There is positions that you put into authority and it ought to be looked at and those kind of things. But I think Paul would say in those exalted places, did Paul die for you? Was Paul crucified for you? True Christian religion hooks the soul of man to Christ. It does not hook it to other people. Of course we're hooked together through Christ, but it isn't hooking it in a putting a man up. The Catholic Church did that in the Vicar of the Son of God, and he become some worldwide great holy man that people look up to as being what? Did the Pope, was he crucified for you? No. Our allegiance, there's only one interceder before us and God, that is Christ. Have faith. People let you down. There's good people. Thank God for God's people. I've known a lot of them and I've benefited from them and I love God's people and all of that. But you know, there's been many people disappointed by putting too much in somebody else. Why did they say what they said? What was that human element about? Was they carnal? That seemed a little carnal. Yeah. Yeah, that's what us humans do from time to time. But we didn't die on the cross for you. Jesus did, and the obligation goes to that. You remember the scripture? There was a scripture, I'm not sure where that's at, but there was a scripture where Peter, I think it might have been when Peter walked by and the shadows healed the ones that was sick. And they began to give them homage, deity, honors of deity, like they were God. And Peter said to them something like this, "Why do you look on us as though by our own righteousness we've done these things? Or why do you look at us as though our own holiness or our own ability has done this?" It ain't us. It's the Christ that you crucified. It's this glory and honor belongs to Christ. So we need to have that relationship with Christ. We are bound together by the Spirit of God. We have fellowship with one another, because if you walk in the light and I walk in the light, we'll have fellowship one with another. It can't be helped. It'll be fellowship and it'll be right. But we need to have a faith individually in God. Not in the circumstances. Not, if I may even say this, not just the church or what the church can do, or not just what an individual, because he's charismatic or because he has certain gifts or anything, that I put it on him. No. That I have faith in God. That the circumstances does not hinder our God. That I don't have to look at what is going on around in the world and say, oh no, we're in trouble. Can I tell you something? This world is changing. And there's a lot of bad, if I may say, there's a lot of things on the horizon. We can see it. Surely you can. That should not faze us if we have faith in God. If we have faith in the circumstances, I'm going to tell you what, you better get a hold. Have faith in God. God kept faithful people always. He proved his faithfulness when the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was in the Babylon. He was true to Daniel. He was true to Joseph. He was true to the faithful, and he'll always be true to the faithful. He was true to the Christians that was in Jerusalem in 70 AD at the siege of Jerusalem. He was faithful to his people always, and he's going to be faithful to his people now. If we have faith in God, we'll be able to go right through. Faith in God and not in the circumstances. And look around and I see the turmoil and the problem with the world now. I see the stuff that's coming on. It seems like people's minds are so warped. There's such a darkness. There's such a reverting back to a paganistic. I mean, from the trans, we love everybody. Everybody's a soul. But the transgender is hateful to the soul. It's ugly. It's destroying. All of these things that the people are pushing and stuff is other than that. I see the circumstances that can be, it's mind-boggling. Have faith in God. You know, God ain't no different because of what people's done. God's the same God. He'll keep us through anything. He can keep our hearts and minds pure through no matter what this evil world throws at us. He can keep us true and faithful. He can keep us. He can cause the enemy to turn their heads. He can cause them not to be interested in it. He can cause them. You remember this story was told a long time ago. I remember these old saint stories, and I'll be through. I remember these old saint stories of the brother during the Depression that had got a job, and the Depression hits, and he ended up getting this job, and he prayed, and all these people was getting laid off, and he was like, should have been the first one laid off because he was the last one hired. And the company kept going around. Every day, the boss come around with pink slips, giving pink slips out, and he kept waiting. He kept going by him. Kept acting like he didn't even notice him. He stayed right there. And next day, next week, more pink slips, more pink slips. He worked the whole Depression. Circumstances said that's not true. I was the last one hired, first one go. Circumstances meant that it don't happen that way. But God can do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. God can change the circumstances. And you know, at the end of that, I ain't so sure that at the end of it, after it was all said and done, that they didn't look at that and said, how did this guy stay here? He was supposed to be the first one. We overlooked him. Boy, that was terrible. No, God is able to do all of those things. So instead of looking at the circumstances or allowing the things around, Lord, help us to build up our faith, because I think God wants to work with us regularly to build up our faith. I'm here to do this for you if you'll believe in me. If you'll believe in me. Brother Humphreys, probably not many know him, but Brother Humphreys, you all knew Brother Humphreys probably. But Brother Humphreys, he was a dear old guy to me, and he told me one time, he said that He was driving home, him and his wife was driving home from a meeting, and they didn't have no gas and no money. And he said he knew he didn't have enough gas to get home, all the way home, but he didn't want his car to run out of gas. And so he finally got, said he went as far as he felt like he could go, and he said, he told his wife, said, we got to do something. He said, I pulled over and said, I'm going to go pray. And he said he got out to go pray, and he went to walk, and he, this parking area thing, and he went to walk off into the woods to pray, and he walked over there, and he said he saw a log, and he was going to go down, and he got over there, he was going towards that log, and he looked down, and there was a $20 bill laying there. And he told me, he was a funny fella, he turned to me and he said, I don't know what people thought about that, but I think it was the Lord. I said, Brother Humphreys, I think it was the Lord too. The Lord wants to work with the, that built his faith right there in the time of, the circumstances meant that he was stuck and stranded. The circumstances, what you going to do? And there was a $20 bill waiting on you, Brother Gordon. Just have faith in God. God will take care of those things. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.